Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Open your hearts and loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. We're sitting here in the throes of hunger, waiting for food to arrive.
We're waiting for food to happen, and you know what? That's why you heard my energy was so high, so goofy, because it's almost like I have to take opposite action, okay? Because every fiber of my being wants to sit and listen to this true crime doc until food comes. And I said, you know what? No, we have an introduction to introduce. And so let's get to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just lifted weights and walked Mabel, and my pecs are screaming for some protein.
Ew. Ew, Andy, gross. It's like, I know you're joking, but it's like the idea that I would even know a man like that is like upsetting to me.
My delts are crying out for
attention.
Attention.
My delts are crying out for affection. Oh, good Lord.
It's really tough. I don't know what to... I got a little bit of pasta. I guess that has protein in it.
Yeah, I know. For someone who's... Yeah, you'd be craving, but you don't actually eat anything with protein in it.
No. Well,
yogurt. I think yogurt.
We ordered...
I think a Greek yogurt.
We ordered Italian, so not a lot of... For a vegetarian, not a lot of protein options there.
That's okay. That's not what we're here to talk about.
Anyway, we got a DM.
Ooh,
on Instagram.
A direct message?
Someone who, they've been listening to the back catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote us and said, I'm listening to your episode with Nicole Byer. So this is like over a year ago, I think. I needed to let you, Naomi, know that a version of apple water is an actual beverage in Germany, where I'm from.
What?
That is ordered in restaurants and pre-mixed in bottles. It's a 50-50 mix of sparkling water and apple juice, and it's called Apfelschorl. Apfelschorl? Apologies if I'm... in English, is it pronounced Apfelschorle?
Apfelschorle. Apfelschorle. You're the one who took German.
Hallo. Ich habe sehr gut Apfelschorle for du. For dich.
Andy, why don't you keep up with the German you studied in high school? Is it because it's not a useful language? Like, unless you go to Germany?
Yeah, probably. Hey, my Latin came in handy with when it came to the SATs. I'm a big fan of the not too sweet juice beverages myself. Anyway, I'm a big fan of the pod, and I've been binging it all weekend. Thank you so much for producing it.
Thank you so much for this DM. Thank you for giving me a reason to come back to Germany, because I do stay in Berlin. All right. It is a little scarier now. It's funny, the loop. Anyway, the point being, thank you for telling me there's apple water. I will see if I can order it online. I mean, because really what you're telling me is a light sparkling cider.
Uh-huh.
You know, a sparkling, but it doesn't, it's apple juice. It won't have the real taste of sparkle. I'm going to stop talking.
Do you think you could get some Apfelschorle ins Kino? At the movies. I remember some of my German.
Well, thank you so much for listening to the back catalog, and thank you for sharing with me.
And we have an update.
Uh-oh.
An update, my
Uh-oh.
Dear. No, not why uppo?
I don't know. I'm just saying words. Uppo.
Uppo. I sound like I'm one of those circus acrobat people, and they're throwing someone in the air, and they go, uppo.
We shouldn't record intros when we're hungry. It's like, what is even happening right now? It's like, you keep saying like bad German in words that I went on for too long about sparkling apple water. We need to just, we are off, our blood sugar's low and we're off the rails.
Okay? Dubist saying, meine Deutsche ist schlecht.
Yes, your Deutsche ist schlecht. I'm going to say that right now. I don't even know what schlecht is, but it's schlecht. Definitely. Don't even tell
word,
me. Don't
it's
tell
in
me.
The word. Just
I know. I mean, I know
the
what
word
it is.
Feels.
Yeah,
I know
what
you it can't
means.
Really do that, but.
No, I know.
In this
sometimes
instance, you can't. We have an update. You should not say up-o or uh-o, because when people send us updates, usually they're like, at least neutral. So do you remember a couple episodes ago? I forget whose episode, but they were like trying to like date on the apps and they kept matching with like shitty people or whatever.
Yeah.
Specifically, they're like, how do I not match with like a racist or like a white moderate or something? All right. Here's an update from them.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. This is the caller who was struggling with dating and just trying to find a quality human out here who's not a racist or a misogynist. I just wanted to call back with an update. I'm married. I'm just kidding. I'm so single. But that would have been a quick turnaround, right? So first of all, I screamed when Brian Safi was the one, your guest, that, like, helped answer my call. It tickled me. It tickled my brain to my spine. I love him so much, and I'm just so grateful that all three of you were attacking this problem together, and I just feel so hashtag blessed. In terms of getting that groin action that Andy was so poetically talking about, that 4-year dry spell is over. I can't say that it was a magical time, but it wasn't a terrible time, I guess. not a high bar to clear. But since then, I just love some of the advice that you gave. The caller who had the Pure app, I'm going to check that out. Brian talking a little bit about not being so precious about it. I mean, I still want to not sleep with people who are assholes, but maybe doing an app like Pure will help, like sort of alleviate some of the stress and the anxiety of trying to know people. I don't know if that's bad. But yeah, also like Naomi's advice on setting up like, you know, a day a week to be date day. I've like been going turbo and having like 4 dates in a day. You can't do it. It's not sustainable. Don't do it, everybody. One tip that I'd love to give anybody out there who's also in the same or similar position is trust your instincts. When you're thinking like when you get a weird, you know, feeling about somebody or they send like a weird text or something, usually I'll ask them, can you tell me more about that? Or what do you mean by that? I was talking to this guy that I was excited to see. And then he sent me a meme from a, racist orgy. Don't ask. It's Perry Perry surrounded. Don't look it up. It's terrible. That experience taught me like, you know, just trust your gut. If someone seems like they're a sketchball, just don't even give them more time. It's okay to just unmatch and block them. It's totally okay. You don't have to, like, try and, you know, figure out the meaning behind someone's. Anyway, this is probably 3 minutes. Oh, my God. But I love you both. If you know anybody, my name's on Instagram. Cut out that last part. I love you both. Bye.
Okay. First of all, I literally did almost scream when she said, I'm married, because I thought, I was like, honey, stranger things have happened. But then also, I didn't say have 4 dates in one day. Okay. When I say date day, I just mean that's the one day you choose to give over to nonsense. That don't mean you start to see 4 or 5 people in a day, ma'am.
I got a date every hour.
A timer goes off and you're just like, you have to leave. Someone's meeting me here.
Yeah. Wake up, shower, go to the coffee shop and just like
plant. Just be like, keep filling them up.
What's this racist meme? I gotta know. Is it Lemon Party? Is it Tub Girl? What's going on?
Oh my God. I mean, not only is that, it is terrible, but also really kind of, in a way, I feel like I'm grateful to that person for sending you that meme so that you kind of knew they were cray. Do you know what I mean? Like, send a racist meme and it's like, oh, no, we never have to go out. You see what I'm saying? If I get a racist meme from you, I'm like, oh, actually, sorry, I'm busy.
Was it like out and out, like overtly racist?
I'm sure it was.
Or is it one of those things where you have to know like deep internet symbology to understand that there were like I don't want to actually say any of the stuff, but like there's certain things, like certain numbers and stuff where like they're referencing like pages in Hitler's Mein Kampf and some shit like that. And you're like, you have to like deeply know this dumb shit in order to like figure out that this person is a DB, a dumb B word.
DB, dumb B word.
What, so what really actually say the
D, word? It's really DB word. It's just, yeah. Oh, God.
We're so hungry.
Where's the Postmates?
We're so hungry.
I'm really glad. Yes, trust your gut always, always. And I am glad that you broke the dry spell, honey. Blessings. Blessings. Not great, but not terrible. And that's where you start.
Mazel tov. That's what I say. Mazel tov.
Mazel.
Naomi, now, viewers, you may know this, but we have a Patreon.
Oh, absolutely. On the page, honey. The page is where friendship comes. It's where the magic happens. It's where it's just me and Andy giving you that sweet, sweet tea.
We just pulled back the sick curtain of showbiz for to talk about Naomi's Letterman special.
Yeah, we're getting into it. So, you know, if you enjoy the intros where we've already eaten and you just want to hear like something longer than that, then like you should definitely go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod. But before you do that, or while you do that, okay,
simultaneously,
I'm gonna introduce today's guest.
Ooh.
We are talking to someone who is just a dear heart, okay? Actor, writer, model, Colton Haynes, honey. You may know Colton from shows like Teen Wolf or Arrow. He actually just wrote a memoir that comes out next week, a week from today, May 31st, Miss Memory Lane. And I'm telling you, talk about an open heart, a loose butt, telling everybody everything. Mm-mm. Colton is giving us the real and just, oh, God, the rawness, honey. Also, if you want to see Colton in person, maybe get a book signed, you can check out some of his book tour dates. May 31st, he's in New York at the Barnes & Noble Union Square. June 1st, New Jersey. June 6th, L.A. and West Hollywood. So you can go to MissMemoryLane.com to get all that info and to pre-order the book. But
yeah, you guys met on doing a pilot together, right?
Yes, we did a pie. And that was in the pandemic, and he was so nice and lovely, and you know, it's obviously he's had such an interesting life, and he's been in this business so long, and it was almost like, you know, it almost has a kind of that classic Hollywood story to it in terms of like from the Midwest to Hollywood, you know, and so I find it very interesting. But
including some of the dark,
I mean,
kind of Hollywood
that's what I'm
stories.
Saying. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not saying it's like a good one. It's like, you know, but point being. Strap in. We're about to have a great convo with Colton. So come on, Andy.
Roll it.
Now, Colton, before we just get into an in-depth conversation, I want to know how your cat son, Timothy, is doing.
You know, Timothy, he is actually living life right now. He has decided that he only... acts like a vicious, wild, half Bengal, which I found out there. I didn't know if I told you this.
Uh-uh.
Remember I told you he's a murderous, I've been harboring a fugitive since I got him. I found out he's a Bengal.
Uh-huh.
So those are wild cats and you can't just have those. So I have to get some sort of like, but he kind of looks like a cat, but, since he's so dangerous, I have to get this like, not license, but something basically to
wait,
just warn people.
Fill Andy in on Timothy.
Sorry, okay. Your cat is a half wild creature.
So basically, I had two options to get a cat because I was like, I had a dream. It was like 3 a.m. and Timothy Chalamet, the name, kind of popped into my head. And I was like, did I hear that somewhere? And then, of course, I went sleuthing 3 a.m. And found out that no one that I had an original idea for once. So I was like, oh, I was like, I need to actually act on this. And so then I immediately, even though I'm not very good at social media, got the handles, so I could set my cat, so I could, you know, plan for my cat's college and future.
Right,
And so I got the handles and then I went on the hunt for Timothy and I chose the cat that I would have to win over for his love instead of the one that was already like lap ready.
Sure.
And so then so I have a dangerous cat living in my house who is being looked after by his cat sitter. And she charges like not like, you know, I won't tell you, but she's very, very affordable.
Yeah.
She's one of my neighbors. She's amazing. And Timothy loves her so much that she sends me pictures every day, and they're like cuddling and they're like having afternoon tea. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like I literally in my own home am at risk for personal extinction. Like I might die in a moment. But yeah, so but otherwise, I mean, long story short, Timothy's living it up with, you know, now that I'm gone for a couple weeks. So
I got to say, by the way, the thoughts that come into your head at 3 a.m, very different from the thoughts that come into my head at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I tend to, I mean, the last couple years I've been staying up until like 5 or 6, but this was one night where I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to bed. And I went to bed and I was awakened with a thought. And now I have a
vision.
Child.
As if out of Spiritus Mundi.
Yeah.
Came to you. Now, do we need to unpack the fact that you picked the one cat that didn't love you? Because that tells us a lot, Colton.
Here's the issue is I he didn't love me when he met me. But now, like, I was like, I have to work for this. You know, like, I want to know that once he actually does take to me, that it's that I earned it. And also that, you know, he does really care for me. So it took 5 months. I, like I said, almost died multiple times. And then now he loves me. But okay, he definitely is on me, like sleeps on my neck. And if I make any sudden movements, you know, I'll get annihilated. But now it's good.
But is that your general relationship pattern? When you're on Raya, are you looking?
Could you imagine? I'm not on Raya. I have... it's fun. Now I was telling Naomi, I was like, you know, I am the type of person who is not a very good person to ask about relationships. And I kind of, I've sworn them off, and I'm not on Raya. I'm not on any dating apps. And I'm not, it's been a very long time since I've even been like feet from another human being in that way. But, I like it. I like being alone. So I'm not a person that gets lonely because I keep myself entertained. I'm talking to myself. Yeah. I'm doing all kinds of things.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's funny you say that, though, because to me, like, you know, your social media presence, like, I'm convinced you're doing a photo shoot every other day. And so I'm like, are you just banking the photos? Like, you're out here. You're hanging out with a lot of whites, a lot of young whites who are just, like, thriving is what it looks like.
Not really. I mean, I really, honestly, if I posted some photos, like, I guess a couple weeks ago, and that's just like a random shoot. Like, legitimately, I got to New York. I eat at the same Italian restaurant every single night. I walk, sometimes I'll walk loops around bars or like gay bars or something, hoping that like maybe someone will appear and be like, hello, would you like to go make out in that corner? And I'm like, but it never happens. So like, I literally don't do anything. No one believes me, but I genuinely do not hang out with
Andy is showing Colton a picture of himself on a car, James Dean style.
You want to know how that happened? This girl DM'd me. So like, I might be able to look cool, but like, she was a fan who had done some fan art like 10 years ago on a show I did called Teen Wolf. And then I just was like, fuck yeah, I'll shoot with you. So like, you know, this is how things kind of happen. I am very, very, I am not as fancy as I can make myself look on Instagram. And everything I wear is a dollar. I go thrift store shopping like, you know, four times a week.
We stand a relatable king. We stand a sober, relatable king.
So the most sober, my God. Well,
to me, nothing says sober like a midday Red Bull. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're like, I need my energy to try to function.
Nothing says sober like an all day constant Red Bull that I drink like 320 ounces a day. So,
oh my God.
Wasn't that one of the sayings, let go and it gives me wings?
Yes, let go, let God, Red Bull gives you wings.
And Red Bull gives you wings.
But wait, sorry. Okay, hold on. Wait. So not relationships necessarily, but hooking up still.
No, I haven't hooked up in 3.5 years.
Jeez. Now, okay. Did that coincide with sobriety or was that even before?
It was because I've been almost sober for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, has it been almost 4 years? I don't even know if I have since I've been sober.
Go get your coins. Let's count them.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll just go. I don't know how to like how I don't. Like have, I didn't have like a little, you know, book of people to call, like, I don't know anyone. So like,
And I don't go to, you know, places where there would be dudes to make out with. Like, I don't.
I got to give you a list of some good meetings while you're in New York. We can get you some cuties in a couple meetings. I know two spots. We can get you up to Midtown, get you down.
But the thing is people don't ever like talk to me. And also I'm really shy, like, believe it or not, especially when it comes to like dudes. Or I keep saying dudes. I've never said the word dude. I think it's because Andy's on and I'm like, if like Andy wasn't here, it'd be me and Naomi would be like, oh my God, yes. But,
I'm like super
Andy's
masked.
Very masked.
It's because there's like a male I haven't met in the room, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm trying to be like bro-y. But
my bros are always kicking field goals together.
Yeah.
Field goals. Always. It's like running sports. I was like, okay.
I know. Oh my God. But yeah, I don't, I mean, it shows how sad it is that for like, I'll do loops by myself around gay bars. And that's my interaction with males. Right. I don't go in. I'm too afraid. I don't make eye contact. So, yeah.
So basically it seems like your next frontier, you know, kind of as you know, you are your sober self. Now you got to learn how to do that part of things.
How does one do that? Like, I used to do that. I started doing those kinds of things at a very, very, very young age. And so, but before I moved to LA, I was pretty wild. Like, I was a go-go boy from like 14 until like I moved to LA. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of lived this really kind of wild, fun life. And then I moved to LA and then I was, you know, for my career, kind of forced to go to be in the closet. And so then that part of my life, I feel like I'm wanting back when I had this kind of feeling of sexual freedom, but also just kind of a personal, not feeling so, I don't know. I went to a gay bar recently for the first time in 7 years and I was just, you know, doing a meet and greet and it was a little bit, I'm always cool with it whenever people are asking for pictures. I'm not like, you know, Zac Efron, but, you know, there are a very limited amount of out gay actors or people really in the industry. And so I just wasn't able to like have that anonymity and like enjoy myself because I was just constantly worried about, you know, not worried, but like, you know, people coming up to me and, posting and, oh my God, you know, guess who's at this bar?
What year did you get to Los Angeles?
I know, right? It's crazy because it wouldn't have been that long. 10 years ago?
I've been in LA since I was 17. So how old am I now? Almost 34. Math.
So
17. I don't know how to do math.
So 17 years.
So like early 2000s.
But that 2005, like even in fucking 2005, you were
2006.
You can't.
2006 is when I graduated 2006 and then I moved the day after to LA. So a couple months before my 18th birthday, I moved to LA. So, yeah.
And now, did somebody specifically tell you don't be out, or was it just you got the sense based on what you were seeing around you?
Yeah, I was in a situation with my first manager when I moved to town, which I wrote an essay for New York Magazine, I was so happy that they let me like have that space. And that ended up making its way into my book that's coming out. But I explain how I was put into a situation in this kind of class called Sexy Scene Night, where I was told, you know, every single week by this, you know, ridiculous manager that I would not succeed if I was gay. So then he also put me in I was in movement and speech therapy classes and things to kind of de-gay me. So I would put post-it notes under my tongue so my lisp would go away. I would go to movement classes to fix my mannerisms. I went back in the closet when I moved to LA so I could work because it's still, we haven't really come that far in Hollywood, but for my specific type, I look like a douchebag, like jock. And so obviously I had to learn how to play that character if I wanted to work.
So that's why you were saying dude just now, just kind of practicing saying dude again, but also this also sounds like fucking conversion therapy. Like,
I thought the exact same thing.
And then so that's 2006, that's fucking 18 years old, baby.
It's
Colton
insane.
With a dream.
It is insane to me. I'm like, I'm not like blind or in...
yeah, you're not naive, but...
I'm not naive, yeah. But I thought, at least in the 2000s, the later 2000s, like, more of our friends who are out and in this industry, that right. It was like, oh, well, you know, that's not just, like, the last 2 years. That's...
I mean, you still, like, you still, to this day, you really, you can't name one out leading male, like, leading romantic lead. You can't name one who's out. Yeah, so, huh. I mean, maybe... You know,
the one person was Neil Patrick Harris when that show, that what you call show, the How I Met Your Mother. But that was like also, yeah, that was a big deal. Like, it was like, can you believe he plays someone who kisses women?
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the you know, one of the only ones. And then like a leading kind of like not like a James Bond, but like kind of like a leading romantic, like a Brad Pitt. It would be like a Matt Bomer. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But even Neil Patrick Harris to be that had to play a like horny douchebag, a horny straight douchebag.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
He couldn't have been gay and also a gay character.
Yes.
And transitioning into like film, like to have like a mainstream, like, you know, out gay male, it still is very, very, it's just kind of non-existent in Hollywood. And especially that's, but also like, I mean, the one thing that, I mean, there's tons of things I'm happy about, but like when it comes to representation and things like that, like I do think there is a lot of, it's come a long way in the last couple of years, for, you know, gay people being in Hollywood and things like that, but it's still very like, okay, they're going to play this, we're going to slot them in as, you know, the gay best friend or the this, and they're going to have a minimal role. But you have people who are breaking the mold like Billy Porter, and you have, you know, in shows like Pose, who are, you know, just kind of unbelievable with things like that. So, you know, the needle's moving, but I definitely, it did a toll on my mental health. And I had,
like, how could it
yeah,
not?
Yeah. I had many a public breakdown. But now I'm on the mend. So,
bless. Yeah. But also, like, cause were you Nebraska?
Was it Kansas? Even
you
worse,
know, I don't even know what's happening in the middle. I'm like, Omaha, Idaho. It's something. Bless.
You don't
for my
know.
Listeners it's... in the middle, I do love you. I see you, but I also don't remember the names. So I think like that's also the fuckery of like you leave Kansas thinking I get to be me the way we all do, I think, when we leave home, right? Just period. Let alone I'm leaving a small town for the big city. And then you get to the big city and they're like, nope, rein it in.
And I was a little tricked because I was doing every summer when I was in high school, I was coming to New York for like modeling. And so I would come here and I'd travel here and then I would go to like Paris or Milan and I'd go back to Kansas to finish school. So then I'd have these like glimpses of like, you can be yourself here in the big city. And then I get to LA and they're like, you should try to be on TV. And I was like, I don't want to be on TV. I want to be a model. Like I genuinely like, I just love fashion and I love photographers and stuff like that. And so when I started doing the on camera kind of stuff in LA, that part of my life kind of died. So
When you got to Paris or Milan, like a place that is like more accepting, obviously Europe is a little more open than the United States. Like, how did it feel?
It was incredible. I'm sure we all feel this way sometimes. Like we're that kid who's like, oh, I'm not like the other kids. I'm an old soul. Like I'm an old soul. And so, but I was like acting like an adult because I had, you know, I had a mom who was still, you know, figuring out her own journey with sobriety. Well, she never tried, but she, you know, she was in her addiction and didn't really, I just was able to do whatever
yourself.
I wanted.
You parented yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And so then, you know, I was hanging out with adults at a really young age and then traveling the world at a very young age. And yeah, I just kind of had a different idea of how things were going to go. And then, then I moved to LA and, you know, took a different path. And, you know, it is very, it's a tricky 30s. I mean, I'm glad my 20s are out, but like, you know, I'm almost 34 and like, you know, trying to figure out like romantic lives, like trying to figure out trauma from like when I was a kid and, you know, trying to like take the time and take some time on me and actually figure out like, you know what? It's probably not healthy for you to enter into, even though I don't want to, what did Oprah say? Whoopi Goldberg says. Whoopi was like, I don't want anyone in my house. That's kind of how I feel. Yes. Like,
oh my God, how I feel. I say that same thing about, that's my Whoopi quote too. Like, Whoopi doesn't like people in her house and she doesn't really want to leave. And I'm like, exactly.
That's the thing is that's how I am. And I definitely just, I don't even like my morning breath. I don't want to smell yours. So yeah, I'm just figuring out some space for myself and trying to figure out how to, you know, be a sober human.
Yeah.
Person. Are you doing like therapy stuff? Are you doing like EMDR type things and that kind of stuff?
I do it all. Oh my God. It's like a constant, you know, multiple times a week and, you know, going to every meeting possible, you know, and just figuring it all out. And I enjoy it. EMDR is like, they're like, this could take some time for it to start working. And I'm like, 2 years later, I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay. I'm definitely doing everything I can to kind of, keep moving in the positive path. So
now I have my question just out of curiosity about, you know, the process of you writing a book and sort of this, and I guess what I'm asking is sort of, you know, because you're figuring yourself out, what was the decision to kind of put the story on paper and say like, okay, this is the definitive version. Do you know what I mean?
I definitely do. Yeah. So I'd been approached a couple times, in the past to write a book because I used to have this like, I thought it was great. I used to write this column. I used to write this column for 17, like 10 years ago or something. And then I would write little things and, you know, people are always like, telling me you should continue writing. Like you have a kind of your prose and like your point of view is really specific. And so I wanted to, but I think after I came out of the closet, I felt myself kind of retreating and kind of hiding. And so, and feeling like, you know, my story wasn't worth telling and, you know, just not feeling very confident in a way. And so I just stopped that altogether. But I am a person who I have thousands of journals from the time I was like, you know, 14, I think 13 or 14. And I write every single day. And so I had all these things to draw from. And also I've been in I'm in a really clear headspace now. And I knew that if I started writing the book now, which it took me fucking 3 years. But I knew that if I did it now, I wouldn't come from a place of blaming people and, you know, a place of seeking pity. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, you know, it would just be here is my truth. Here's the things I did wrong. Here's, you know, some people I may have harmed. Here's, you know, my part, which is very kind of, you know, sobriety based, but, I knew that I would be able to also write it and not hurt anyone by me putting out my story. And so with the book, you know, there's a lot of name changes and things like that. Cause I, my goal is to never hurt anyone who's hurt me. Mm. I just want to get it all out there. And so I can realistically put the book on the shelf and start new chapters for myself. And in this book, I'm just happy I survived it. It was the hardest thing in the world I've ever done. And, but now I'm so proud of it and it's wild. It's like, if you want to give all of the listeners your address and me included, I would love to send you a copy. Oh no. But yeah, it's very, very dark and very, very, very raw. And, it's, I think going to surprise people, but it's also, I hope I'm not the reason why, of course it comes out May 31st, which is right before Pride. I hope my book is not, me and my book's not the reason why gays around the world are checking into like psych wards because, you know, cause I like put emotional strain on them for Pride. So, yeah. Yeah.
But wait,
yeah.
When you came to Los Angeles and you had this shitty manager, like how did you, was it that the culture just started to change? Like by the time that like, I don't know, I don't know. Like, when would you? When does the sea change? Just like Oberfell, like when gay marriage becomes legalized, is there like a cultural sea change here? Like, I'm wondering, like, what, like, at what point do you start to get out from under that and realize, like, the manager's a piece of shit, that, like, that culture is changing, even if it's just slightly changing?
Well, what happened with what we find a lot in, at least because I've really only worked in this industry, but in this industry, I call it only bitch syndrome. It's not in the book, but it's just something I call it, like, where, you know, I felt this way in the past, but a lot of people, they want to be the only one. And, but there's also reasons for that. It's like, okay, obviously there can only be, with the manager, it's like, okay, he wanted to relive, a path in a career that he set out for and never actually accomplished. And then what happened was, is he sent me into the biggest, one of the biggest agencies in town. He had me, he said, he's not interested, but we need to get his attention. So I started working for the manager, submitting his clients that I was in class with. And he said, I can't pay you, but if you work for me, I'll get you an agent. So he sent me into the biggest agent in town and told me to walk in with my shirt unbuttoned and with a cowboy hat on. And I delivered a package that was due to the agent. And so I thought I got his attention. I got back to the management company. It turns out he wasn't interested and the manager dropped me. And so the manager said, you know, I don't think you have what it takes. You know, I think you're still a little too gay. Your manners and blah, blah, blah. And then he then handed me a card, and on that card was a website called rentboy.com. And so he said, I think you could get work here to be a sex worker.
We can't say this person's name and just like burn their house down. And that's what's very frustrating to me.
Yeah, this person, their houses are far burnt. I mean, I don't know how much more burn they can.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, so there was something on earth. Okay, good.
Yeah. So but basically it kind of, you know, and going back to your question with like the thinking things had changed, it's, you know, a lot of my friends still experience being treated differently from if they're gay by other gay men. You know, I've had studio execs who said they didn't want to hire me, and then producers have had to fight them and say he's who we want for the role. So it's people within our own communities that are standing in the way sometimes, and I think that's unfortunate. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes. You know?
I know. But then because you came out, so you got here in 2006. You came out like 10-ish years later.
I came out, 2016. Yeah. I had a photo shoot that was making the rounds online, because when I was 15, almost 16, so I was not legal, I did a very raunchy photo shoot for a magazine called XY Magazine, which was a very popular young kind of gay magazine. And I was like making out with my boyfriend at the time in it, and like not wearing a lot of clothes. And so that, of course, hit the internet whenever I started working as like a teen, you know, like TV guy. So, but then I just denied it, and then, and did what I thought I needed to do. And then once I came out, there was a lot of backlash, which of course I understand why now, because I was sending a message to other gay people out there being like, you can be gay, but you have to be gay like how I'm gay. You have to be, you know, mask presenting. You have to look a certain way. And there, I didn't understand it at the time. And now I'm like, I was really sending the wrong message whenever I was coming out, and also when I was staying in the closet for so long. But my mental health, I couldn't handle it anymore. And then I came out in 2016. So
you had just hit kind of like you hit a bottom with that stuff where you were like, I cannot continue to lie about who I am.
Yeah.
And it's like either be honest and try to get as free as you can get.
And then I did what, you know, most gay people do right when they come out of the closet. I was engaged within 3 months, and then I got married, and, you know, and then that ended. And yeah, so I did all the right things.
Wait, sorry,
I didn't know. But Andy, you guys, the look on Andy's face, he was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You got engaged within 3 months.
It was.
And how?
Well, it was like.
You've been together before the 3 months. Like, yeah, it was like once you've been together and then came out, and then was like, we should get married.
Well, I came out, and then it was my first relationship after I had come out, which it was actually a lot longer than 3 months. But right after we met, 45 days later, we were engaged and then got married. And I'm like kind of not legally able to like talk about it, but, yeah, but I'm very grateful for, I'm very grateful for the experience and also just, happy that I have made my way, out of it. So,
Whoa. But then, okay, my goodness. This is why you write a memoir at 30.
Because
you've lived 25 lives.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is a very, very small chapter. Yeah, sure. This is very, yeah, you're going to read things in there and it's going to, it's not shocking to me because I lived through a lot of it, but I did some very, very interesting things.
Sure, and because I think about repression a lot, and like when like you're repressing whatever you're repressing, whether it's emotions, whether it's your sexuality, whatever, right? That energy still has to come out some way, right? And if you've been the longer you're repressing it, right, it's going to, when you do let it out, or however you let it out, whether either like truthfully or as it just like naturally flows,
agent of chaos, right?
Right. It's just 100%. Going like, especially if you like let it out truthfully, then it's gonna like, it's like you just like blew up a dam and like all the water is rushing through the like the explosion.
Yeah. And I told them, I was like, you know, when I finally came to the decision that I was going to write it, I said, what I'm really grateful for my editor is he didn't try to censor me. He let me say exactly the words I wanted to say and be very, very graphic in the sexual nature that's in the book and just be exactly, I wanted to be 100% truthful because, you know, as we know, you know, you're only sick as your secrets. And so, and I did that and it's an emotional roller coaster.
Was your editor out of curiosity? Was he a gay man?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, so we found an ally. No more people who are like, stop being who you are.
I know. And I just like, you know, once I accepted that, you know, not everyone's out to get me and like, you know, like just getting all my kind of PTSD from that part of my life out of the way and just like leaned into being accepted and, you know, being worthy of having my story told and feeling that way. It was like really, really special to me. And that's why I'm just so still a little emotionally raw that I have this opportunity like that people are about to read some fucking wild shit. And so, but it's just so cool to know that like the work that I didn't sleep, you know, I mean, you know a little bit about this. I didn't sleep for like 3 years. It was just the most wild fever dream. And then, but now.
And then it's here.
Yeah. Now it's almost here in a month. So.
By the way, isn't it fun to, I just realized all of us, there had to be legislation that said all of us could get married.
I just realized that. Wow, you guys.
There was. Wow. He went there. God.
Came through with some very recent history.
Yes, yes. I mean, I still can't even give blood. So that's wild.
Great.
I didn't that recently. Jesus.
I know. Is it
in some places it's still not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, still. Yeah. It's not that I don't like needles.
And then you go, I haven't been within 6 feet of anyone in 4 years. And then so you just go to the blood. You go to the Red Cross. You're like, please.
Yeah. I basically am a virgin again. So
I moved to Palm Springs and I like to paint.
Yes,
I feel like there's something where you because I remember when we ran into you, what would have been last summer, but you were like, oh yeah, I'm staying in Palm Springs now. And you're like, I just want to be there. And I just imagine you in the desert by yourself, like having sunrise meditations.
In a windstorm, fucking just like, because it's like the windy side. So it's just, I am like, talking, I don't even know what is happening. It's like, who's the, I don't watch a lot of Disney movies, but which one is, who's the one that's like talking to the birds and shit? That's Belle. No,
not Belle.
Snow White?
A Sleeping Beauty? Snow White? Is she talking to birds and singing shit?
I mean, they're always talking to birds and singing.
I don't know. That's me. Whoever the one.
Okay, so that's you. So that's you.
Yeah. Like you're the one that, so it's basically me in Palm Springs and just really anywhere I go is just, talking to my cat and just really angry at my cat for not letting me get him children, or not children, get him siblings.
Yeah.
Siblings. Yeah. Cause he'll kill them. So.
So the idea that you just keep, you said you've used the phrases murdered, annihilated, killed, all in reference to Timothée Chalamet. And I think it's very funny that you're just so open about him being murderous, and yet your love for him runs so deep.
He murdered another cat, and I found out.
Wait, what?
I didn't even tell you this, I don't think. I found out after. So I can't bring him to the actual vet because he's so dangerous. And so the vet had to come to my house, and I warned the vet. I was like, hey, listen, you have to sedate him or it won't be pretty.
He'll be scratched up. Yeah.
Yeah. He attacked the vet. The vet filed an insurance claim on me. And I'm like, I fucking told you.
Yeah.
So, so I found out in his chip, that he had murdered. That's why they were going to put him down is he murdered another cat. So I really have been harboring a fugitive without knowing it. And
no,
yeah.
That is, look, it's redemption. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
The cat Timothée Chalamet made a mistake.
Yes.
All
yes.
right. Yes. Paid for it.
Yes.
And now now
he's paying for it by having to live in my jail, essentially. Like he's literally staring at me like, why do I have to live here? Like, get me away from this. Get me away from this lady. That's what he's saying all the time.
But I think, though, I will say this, though. I don't understand why the rescue didn't tell you that as soon as you got him. They should have been like, this animal, FYI.
Then you wouldn't have got him. You wouldn't have got him.
Because she was like, okay, let's try to, you know, make sure that I lie to this person so this cat will get out of my house. Because it was out of this woman's house. And so,
That's some sci-fi type shit, by the way. A microchip that says you're a murderer and you don't know until you read the microchip.
Yeah. It's basically like if I were to shave Timmy's like hair on his face, he might have a teardrop. I don't know. You can see it kind of coming through a little bit.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, I should have saw that teardrop.
Cat with a teardrop tattoo. Colton, is killing me.
We're going to answer some advice questions. But before we do that, one question. Longest relationship. What was it?
6 years.
6 years.
Well, that's a long run.
That's real. That's
It was a secret relationship. But it was.
Okay.
It was. Yeah. It was. So it wasn't real. But. My relationships have been long stints, but I think they've been that way because we never live in the same place. So, when I've lived in the same place with someone, they're probably not very long, but I haven't had, you know, yeah.
So the 6 year one was long distance.
Pretty much for most of the part. Yeah. Most
Where
of
were you,
the time.
You were in LA?
I was in, Vancouver. I was in Atlanta.
Wherever you were like working.
Yeah.
And then they were okay. Oh my goodness. It's too good. This is crazy. Yeah. Colton.
How long have y'all been together? For a long time.
12 years.
12 years.
12.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it seems to be working.
It does. I know. And you know, it does take time. But I also think so too. It's like, relationships are a lot of work, I think. And I think especially when you are somebody, I think like both of you and I, Colton, where it's like, we need a lot of sort of rest in order to engage with humanity. And I think it's work. Like I was texting someone, I was like, I can only take one human interaction a day. But the problem is I also live with someone. So that usually counts as my one human interaction.
That's so true. I mean, it really, even whenever we met, obviously we were all being very cautious with COVID and everything, but we were kind of talking about how it was a little overwhelming being at work and, you know, with the masks and it was a comedy. And so not knowing how to read the room a bit because you can't see the face, but, it was a little bit, feel like you've been kicked in the head. But and I think that being afraid of people is—I'm being told this can be a superpower. I just haven't figured out how to like find that cape because I'm just like, I'm definitely always emotionally spent, and so I like to see my friends on the internet and like you know like just like chill and then it's taxing.
My interaction though, like what I miss. You know, like one of the things I always like the most, and it's harder to find, it took time to find it here. Like, I miss the friends. He's like, do you just want to like sit and watch some TV and order food? Basically, can we do what I would do by myself? But do you just want to come be there? Like it, situations where you don't feel like you have to entertain the person or be like, I've got some Stuart. Like, can we just kind of chill, say what we want or not?
Can we exist together?
Yeah, just like where? That, where it's like, that's what I remember. Like, that was the one thing I liked about college. Like the thing, I like this idea that, you know, people would just have their doors open and you would like sit in someone's mm-hmm. room. Like, I just like that. I don't.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school in Connecticut called Wesleyan. Okay. It was a little, yeah, liberal arts, like very hippie and sweet. But it was just very, you know.
Michael Bay went there.
Oh, I worked with him. I was an extra on Transformers.
Well.
It's how I got into the union.
Did you meet Bumblebee?
I did pet Shia's bulldog. I don't think it was Bumblebee, but I was given one line. I say, look out, and then a helicopter comes through.
Colton, that's so good. You just did it so good.
Thank you. I did it just like that. And that that's why it didn't make it into the movie. So yeah.
Look out.
Look. Yeah. Now people are saying,
I went to school with Naomi. Oh my God. Look at her Netflix special.
I mean, I'm waiting. You know, I'm constantly talking about how not enough former lovers have come into my DMs to say I was funny. I need people from my past telling me.
What numbers? You said not enough. So how many?
Zero.
Oh.
Good.
I got to say this on the record. You bet. Don't come sniffing around former lovers. Slide into her DMs.
Come to my DMs if maybe you Please. Don't like girls anymore.
Yes, and
I will be all ears.
Honestly, you know, there definitely some former lovers who would fit that bill, Colton. Okay, because I help some people come to Jesus. Okay.
Oh, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, we're gonna do like a couple quick questions.
Okay,
you guys, we're gonna take a break and we'll be right back with Colton.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we're back with Colton Haynes, Eddie, here to help you handle your scandal. Colton says he can't help, but I think we all know the man has lived, okay? So he can give us some advice. From the streets.
All right.
We'll try.
I'll be honest. I'm not sure I understand this one too much, but I thought it might be fun to start out with.
Okay. All right. What is this?
Here we go.
Hi. I'm sorry. I've left two voicemails. I'm like really nervous and trying to keep this under 3 minutes.
There's a 3 minute.
Oh,
limit.
This is so stupid. I feel like an asshole. This is my third try with the voicemail.
It's me.
I love you guys so much. I was on Facebook. Someone put up a post about not liking Crocs. I shared that post. When I shared that post, someone that I'm quote-unquote friends with via Facebook, they shared my post about not liking Crocs. And their caption was, no one cares, laughing emoji. I thought that was really weird and passive aggressive. And I've come across a lot of people that I've been friends with on social media who never actually speak to me or say anything or like a post or share a post or anything unless they have something mean or shady to say. So I screenshot this person saying something shady in response to the post that I shared. I posted it on Facebook. I had a friend, someone I considered a friend,
oh, no,
start commenting, saying that, like, oh, this is beneath you. I don't understand why you think what this person did was shady, blah, 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 blah. And I'm always up for a debate. I'm always up to talk to someone who does not believe what I believe. But I felt like this person, this friend, was coming in so hard, and they were, like, arguing with me to the point where I ended up unfriending them and blocking them. So my question is, do you guys think I was being too sensitive? This person who never speaks to me on Facebook but shared my post and said something nasty, do you think that was passive aggressive? Was it over the top for me to unfriend them? And this friend who thought that I was not responding appropriately to this other person who shared my post and said something nasty. Like, I'm just trying to figure out if I'm trying to figure out if I'm being too petty.
Okay, got cut off again.
Okay, but yes, we got there, though. We're trying to figure out, is he being too petty? Are they being too petty in the responses?
Can I, just general question. Croc, are we talking about, like, Potter?
I thought you meant Crocs the shoes.
Oh,
the
shoes.
Crocs, yeah.
Which,
Crocs!
I went to the store yesterday, so this is the legit, I went to the store yesterday. I'm the perfect person to answer this question.
Crocs! I thought it was... I was, like, looking up. I'm like, do I not understand slang? Is this slang for something? Do they mean, like, crock pots?
Yeah, because it, like, croc, and I was like, it says... No, I thought it was going to be about a crock pot.
Because I don't listen... I want to be as surprised as you guys. So
yeah.
I listened to just enough to get the gist of the thing. So I titled this Facebook Croc Drama, spelled C-R-O-C-K. And I was like...
So I was like, is there a crock pot? Was somebody mad about some food?
That's what I thought. Thought it was slang. I'm like looking up. I'm like, croc, slang.
I mean, realistically, by the way, Crocs are so comfortable, and they have a platform version, which you make you taller, which when you're taller, you're more confident, in my opinion, because I still wear lifts in the back of my shoes to make me taller.
Do you have gibbets for your Crocs?
What are gibbets?
I do have some gibbets on, but I didn't buy them. They were, my friend designed, a pair of Crocs and they came with them.
What's a gibbet?
It's a little
like thing, like
little decals or whatever that go on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I only know this because friend of the show, friend IRL, Lauren Lapkus, is a big Crocs fan.
Okay.
And three of them, her podcast.
She talks about gibbets.
No, they made gibbets.
Oh, good Lord. Let's say all this. Now, Colton, yeah. You love Crocs.
I do.
Put yourself in the shoes of our caller who was blasted on social for hating Crocs.
I mean, realistically, I think if friend or not friend, friend IRL or friend WWW. No, I don't know. Either way, if someone's being shady and like sharing shit behind your back, like, yeah, block them and block their whole family. Like, I don't care. especially with, and then the other, he said something about was he being passive aggressive?
So the first person who like pretty much took his post and was like, who cares?
Yeah.
And I say that's not passive aggressive. I say that's aggressive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just straight up like in your face, which I mean, then you also wonder, like, was that person kid? You know how like friends kid and things like that, like, were they kidding? And then maybe the caller got, I hope that maybe the caller didn't get upset over a joke. But if they weren't that good of a friend anyway, like, right. Yeah, block them and then make another account, add them and then block them again. that's my advice. Yeah.
This is my general theory about online interactions. Go into them charitably.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go into them like trying to, because like someone, do I still have it? Someone like, I have another podcast called Beginnings where I talk to people, artists I like about their childhoods. Okay. Mm-hmm. And someone was saying,
I
don't remember the exact thing, but they tweeted at me. They're like, somehow this idiot does the best interviews I've ever heard.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
And I was I read that. I was just like, now, are they saying that somehow incidentally I stumble
they're calling you the idiot?
Yes.
Oh shit.
Somehow
but this they're great interviews. So
yeah,
you're like,
somehow this idiot does the best interviews I've ever heard. It was like a little more elaborate than that, but
yeah,
that was the
was
gist
real
of
yeah,
it
was real negging. Real negging.
Yes. And I was trying to think about like do they really think I'm like Mr. Magooing it or like Ernest goes to camping and falling into like a good like I'm just like a dopey like what's the guy
Rube off the turnip
yes,
truck
from Mayberry how was your relationship with your dad like and somehow like getting to like interesting places or are they trying to like make a joke okay and I was like I think maybe they are like being overly familiar. I think a lot of people online think because they have direct contact with people that they then become over familiar, right? Like there are like podcasts I listen to where the podcast hosts have inside jokes and I've met them in real life and I've had to stop myself.
Me too.
Yeah. I've had to stop myself from joining in the inside joke that those people share.
I am a huge fan of Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen, and I still say shit that I'll hear on that. And like, I even tweeted, like, I was talking to Bowen or something, and I said, like, something they said. I'm like, this isn't, you don't look cool. You're not like, you've never hung out with them. You talk to them online all the time. And so I agree. Like, you have to go. And I do the same thing with like Trixie and Katya. I'm like, their lives have started like taking over. But yeah, I get it. It's wild. Yes. Wild.
But. Sorry.
No. What were you going to say?
Well, because I was going to ask you, like, because, you know, you have a lot of followers on social, Colton, and you have a lot of people who engage with you, but I'm assuming you have done something to cull that so that you're not seeing every person's response, right? Like, you kind of made it now so it's just, like, friends?
I mean, so if I have, like, my notifications on, I'll just have notifications, like, from people that I follow.
Okay.
But, which, I mean, it's not... I don't know what happened with like the algorithm or things like that, but it's like, yeah, it looks like I have a lot of followers, but like back in the day, 5-6 years ago, yeah. When it's almost like they follow when you're like, they know when you're having like a moment or something. Cause like the last 5 years when it's just like my career has been just like, you know, nothing, but, it's just like no engagement. But at the same time, I don't even have it on my phone. Like, mm-hmm. I rarely go on social media because it does, like with the caller, it's the smallest thing, like the smallest thing.
Right.
And then also someone recently made the mistake of telling me about all this shit that like everyone's doing with like putting asterisks in names and stuff in the search bar. Mm-hmm. So like, it's like, if someone wants to talk shit about you on Twitter, they'll put like C asterisk L T O. And then I'm like, you know, with someone who's sitting, like, when I'm not working, I'm just alone. I'm like, let's see what self-sabotage I can get into today. And then it's like, you know, and so it's just, so I agree, like, with the smallest things can kind of upset me. I think it's because also, you know, but at the same time, if you're projecting a fake version of yourself online, which is something I did for so long, then why am I mad at these people for not actually knowing who I am? Because I didn't share with them who I actually am. So now I have the kind of therapized way of being like, oh yeah, of course they think you're that way, or of course they think mm-hmm. you're like this because that's what you told them you were, but it's not really, you know.
Right.
But
well, I mean, like,
I thought you, by the way, I thought you were going to keep asking me questions. I thought you, when you were about to interrupt, you were going to ask me a question. Because I only got started on my whole thing about being charitable at first.
I'm sorry. Well, then
tell us again. I cut you off too. Yeah.
No, Colton. That's not on you. This is on my wife.
It's no. I'm taking all the blame for. Yeah. You never treat her. You never say
thank
anything.
Thank you, Colton.
Yes.
Thank you.
I was gonna say you go in. I just want to finish.
Yes,
the thought.
You go in charitable.
Go in charitably. Go in charitably. Try to interpret what they're saying in the most charitable way possible. If not, block instantly. Block mm-hmm. instant. I will block or mute.
I live to
someone.
Mute.
I will
live
block
to
a
mute.
Freak. In how, a second.
How do you do it? I can't. I
oh
literally.
Oh my God. Okay, Colton.
Oh, I love it.
I just found out that you can click on top requests and you can see messages from, cause I don't, right, I right. never check DMs. And then I'm going, now I'm like, DMs all these like people, I'm ago. Like, literally like, what? And so, yeah, I'm kind of just always like, I like, I don't even know what the hell's going on. But yeah, so now, I'm trying to figure out the internet, like mute, because it only shows me 10 profiles and I don't know these 10 people.
Right,
so it's
right,
like,
right.
What are my friends doing? Because I can't see it.
Yes. So, okay, well, I'll send you a little video afterwards, honey, because you got to
I
mute.
Should just
live
we gotta mute.
To mute.
Live to mute is my motto because it's about my own protection. It's about my mental health.
I will only block absolute shitheads, like people where I'm like, fuck you, I want you to know.
That, right, that I've
that
blocked
you. Because you're a piece of shit. But it's an absolute ocean of mutes on my.
I've blocked on Twitter. On Twitter, yes. I can block. Yeah, I live to block on Twitter.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So I'm like, to me, I'm like, you're not being hypersensitive. I think that I also think because what I was gonna say too is like, I think people are meaner online. It's way easier to be mean to someone when you don't have to look them in the face.
So 100%.
When somebody who you're like, I don't even talk to you, and like also too, you're saying you just shared something that was funny, and them being like, who the fuck cares? It's like. Okay, like it's like, fuck you. It's
yeah,
like
well,
why do you like? What
do
you
fuck
get?
Cares about you saying who cares?
Exactly. It's like why
That's
do you
worse.
Have to be nasty? Exactly. It's worse. Like you just want to be nasty, and then this friend who's
the
like
quote unquote friend,
right? And then the friend who responded to your reaction be like, well, you're better than this. It's like you're not my mom. Get out of here. It's
like, yeah. It's like, yeah. I my beef was with Crocs, not with you. Yeah.
And now it's with you because you
and
come
now,
in here trying to tell me how to behave.
Now I'm going to not only burn my Crocs, I'm going to burn your Crocs is what,
It's all happening.
That's what he said.
It's all happening. I think it's like very, I think it's funny because I hate when people are like, I feel it in my head too. Like I recently had a tweet that got a lot of likes. And so of course, when something kind of gets bigger than your followers, that's when you start to invite crazy in. And it was just a lot of people who just had attitudes where you're just like, is this really how, like, did this help you? Did you having a nasty reaction actually, like, did that feel good to you? Was that helpful? Were you like,
what was the tweet?
Literally, all I said, I was like, I could work on following my dreams, but have you seen this show where Japanese toddlers run errands? Which is my new favorite show. It's called Old Enough, and the children run errands. And they're, like, 3 years old. And it's very gentle. Each episode is like 10 minutes, Colton, I'm telling you. It is just like watch little kids like go to the fish market and try to remember everything they were sent to get.
And I have the attention span of a goldfish. And so literally that's why I'm like 10 minutes or less. I can't watch TV. I watch YouTube and that's it. So I am all about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so young. You're like, I watch YouTube.
So yeah.
That is millennial. That's
so
zennial.
Old Enough and
I'm 35.
Adult Swim shows are for you.
Yeah.
You need 10 minutes. Or well, yeah, Quibi, but that's gone. So,
Colton was the one person
Quibi
watching
was
Quibi.
For you. Quibi
I
was
literally
for you.
Was like, oh my God. And you can turn the phone. And I was following along. And then they're like, sorry, Colton. Like, go back
you have,
to, yeah.
You have to go back to 22
minutes. If only
you
had paid $50 billion for your subscription.
It's like you need to be back.
Do you have time for one more?
Oh, I told you, I have nothing to do. I go to the same restaurant by myself every night.
Oh yeah,
night.
What's the Italian restaurant? Tell me it.
It's the best restaurant. It's called no one's gonna. It's called Arte, A-R-T-E.
Yeah.
I think it was called Le Arte, but I can't find the Le anymore.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. And that's downtown too. I'm just trying to think because I love me an Italian joint and I'm
it's
New
on
York
like
every day.
It's on like 9th and. university.
Know what you're talking about. I'm gonna play this next one, and I'm gonna look at the menu.
I think it used to be Mario Batali's, and I wonder if they changed the name.
They remember my order every time I go.
All right, here's this next voicemail.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I have a quick question. It's a friendship question. Backstory, a couple months ago, I introduced two different friends from two different friend groups at a birthday party, and we all had a fun time together, and those two friends started getting together without me, basically. At first, they didn't invite me, and I even expressed that I just wanted to be invited because they were both good friends of mine, and I thought by introducing them, we could all hang out, and they just kind of... they kind of blew it off and said that it wasn't anything personal, and they're both single and I'm not, and they live really close together, and I live, you know, about 30 minutes away. So I kind of chalked it up to that, but the hanging out, without me just kept going on and on to the point where now I don't see either of them. And it's definitely not a one-sided issue. Like I said, I live further away, and I haven't been feeling as social lately, and for health reasons, I don't want to be going out a lot, and they're big bar people, so they're out in crowded bars a lot, and I'm just trying to be careful about the pandemic. So anyway, my question is, how do you deal with this feeling of FOMO, like you feel like you're missing out on something that you weren't even sure you wanted to do anyway, but you just like to be invited? Do you know what I mean? I guess I still have these feelings of feeling left out, feeling like I want to have, you know, people to do stuff with. It's not that I don't have other friends, but they're just doing a lot all the time. And I'm not sure if it's jealousy or just straight up, you know, being bored. but do you guys have any suggestions, or have you ever felt this way? Sorry if the question is confusing. Thank you so much. Love the podcast. Bye.
Okay.
Such a great question.
This is why I don't like my friends to meet. Mm-hmm. Because how dare you?
By the way, the porcini ravioli at Arte, that looks pretty good.
Oh my God. It's so good. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I only listened to the first little bit. I thought this was going to be a question about being left out of the hangouts of the friends.
Yes.
This is an interesting.
Well, it's kind of both,
turn,
right?
Kind of an interesting.
Yeah. Yes. It's like kind of both. I mean, you know, Colton, you famously don't want to be around anyone ever. So do you ever have this feeling of FOMO?
No, but at all. The thing, like, I feel FOMO like when, like people I know go to like the Met Gala, but like that's. That's like not like I would love to go to that too, but like, yeah. No, I mean, but I totally understand what she was saying because yeah. I have been in a situation where, and I tend to be a matchmaker for like my friends to not like to get in romantic relationships, but like for friends. And
yeah.
It's happened to me multiple times where they'll meet people that I'll introduce them to. And then all of a sudden, like I'm out of the picture and I'm like, whoa, I didn't really even do anything. But at the same time, what I had to kind of take a step back and be like, this was her question, but like for me, they know that if they invite me, I wouldn't go anyway, but that's not what, that's not her question, but it's such a layered question. What she was saying.
But also though, it kind of is what she's saying, right? Because she is saying, she's like, well, I don't want to go to crowded bars.
But I do want to be invited. I get that. I want to be invited.
Yeah.
I want to be invited.
I agree. I agree with that too. Yeah. Because I at least want to know that they know that I'm going to say no, but like it would be nice to at least to be thought of. And also like, you know, but still it really is hard. But at the same time, you know, she's in a relationship, but she should feel frustrated from that, I think.
Yeah.
Would you guys be frustrated with that? Like, I mean.
What? If I wasn't being asked by friends?
Yeah.
If kind of you feel like you've been ousted, like, by people, friends that you.
Kind of. I think. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is the thing. It's not FOMO, it's FINBY. Fear of not being invited.
FINBY. Okay.
Is that a thing?
Fonby?
He just decided.
I just made it up.
He just made it up.
It's not FOMO.
It's a thing.
Sorry. It's not FOMO. It's Fonby.
Start making the memes now. Hashtag Finby. Fombie.
It's Fombie. Yeah. Fear of not being invited.
Doing it as I was saying it.
That was great.
But we don't want to go places. We want people to want us to go places.
Right.
It's the feeling underneath is the feeling of being wanted or needed.
Yes. Yeah. But I also know, too, on my end, I'm trying to get better at reaching out to people to say, like, hey, I'm thinking of you. Because I know for me, I think it started, and it's just always been baked in. It's a self-esteem thing of, like, nobody wants to see me. Yes. Nobody cares.
Yes.
So then I don't reach out either, right? Yes. So it's like, it is like, so, you know, it's not just them. It's me also. And, of course, then I assume that they know because I am in a relationship. It's like, oh, well, she and Andy are probably doing 12 podcasts or whatever. Yeah. And so, like, they don't think to, like,
watch an anime together.
Exactly. But it's like, no one wants to, like, hang. Like, I don't think they, like, I don't. And so I'm trying to get better where it's like, hey, just wanted to say hi or see how you're doing, like, to connect, even if it's like, let's hang out. Like, versus when you were living in the desert, where I was like, oh, I'd love to get together with Colton, but he's in the desert. And then you're like, oh, I'll be back. But then I kind of felt like, he's busy. I can't be out here bothering people when they're in the desert. And I assume that all the time.
And that's the thing is, you know, I think also if I am someone who can present a certain way to people, thinking like I'm like busy or that I'm like, cooler than I am, like, or posting like cool picture. I'm just like, not, I literally at 2 a.m. am watching like Ikigayo, like all my K-pop videos, all the live shows from like, all I do is just watch K-pop videos online. I watch K-dramas. I'm just playing Pokemon Go.
K-dramas. Yes.
Oh God.
They're my jam. I'm surprised you can make it through a K-drama. Those are long.
Well, the one I really got involved in was one of my girls from Blackpink, Jisoo. There's a lot of controversy on that specific show, which I want to get into today. We'll have to get into it later. When you guys tune in, we'll talk about our K-drama. Yeah. But no, but I think whenever you're on, when in a way, like if I make myself do like look busy or like cool, like, my best friends know that I am literally doing nothing. If I'm not working, I am doing nothing. I am laying and I am on my computer and I am literally doing DIYs, but I am at home. It'd be hard whenever sometimes you feel like, oh, that friendship is blossoming because, and I'm the reason they met. But at the same time, it's like, sometimes we have to go, you know what? Like, they shouldn't be beholden to, I'm not coming down on
our last call. No, of course not.
I loved her question, you know, but also it's like, if they like to do things, they like to have fun, like to go to bars and things like that. And you also live 30 minutes away and you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I do still think that they should, maybe send a text and be like, oh, hey, what's going on? Or even if it's not all the time, still like check in and be like, hey, like we should at least, they should make an effort to at least want to hang out instead of just like always just be the two of them.
But then I would say to our caller though, who is again, not sure she wants to go farther away. I say, you reach out to them and you set the parameters. It's like, hey girls, let's have a park hang, you know, someplace in between where we both live, right? So if you are initiating something that, one, is like the kind of thing you would want to do, you get to be outside, you know what I mean? Like,
but also something they would want to do. Okay, hold on. Two things. One, I think you got to let go a little bit.
Well, yeah, you brought them together because you knew they would vibe, and now they're vibing.
They're vibing. Yeah. And you can't like, write them with your hurt feelings. I don't think it's not their, not their fault.
Right,
okay?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So the second thing is, fine. It's not just like, you can't just set the parameters. You have to find a thing that all of you would want to do too.
Well, yes. But I meant like something that's like also, again, because she doesn't want to go to a crowded bar due to COVID. What is something they can do that isn't that?
Right. But that they would also want to do.
Yes, definitely.
And then do that. And also, I like your thing about like, because I did the same. I've done the same thing for a lot of my life where I don't check in with people because I just assume they don't want to hear from me. Mm-hmm. Even my good friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a self-esteem.
I do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
self-esteem
like,
thing. Right. But then the more I started to do that, I'm like, oh, they do. It's not an annoyance to get a text from me.
Yes, right. And nowadays, yeah, there's so many ways to do it. Like, I love a voice note, which is kind of that nice middle ground, because then you get the you get a personality, but it has the passivity of the text, meaning they can respond when they want to respond.
Yeah.
And it's not a constant, like, hour-long conversation.
Yes.
And also, there's also a world where, like some people grow, and there's a world where if this isn't working for you, there's also a world where if it's not working for you, then, you know, maybe they're not friendships to hold on to.
Yeah.
And so, that, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of great friends who live in your town, mm-hmm, who also don't want to, like, go to bars during COVID. And also, like, there's some great TV and there's great things to do. There's animals. There's probably a rescue. There's probably, you know, like, there's just a lot to do other than, like, you know, have to worry about that. But at the same time, you do want to feel seen and heard. And
yeah, but
I
you hang out.
Understand,
but it's also such a single thing too. Like, I know that gulf, and I think that was something even when you and I got together, it was very important to me that I still hung out with my friends and that we weren't, mm-hmm, constantly doing stuff as a couple. Cause that's, I used to hate that someone would get in a relationship and they would fall off, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I don't mean that for you, but I know it's like when you're single, you know, the two single gals want to go be single gals and they, mm-hmm, know you aren't trying to live that life. You like, shit, it's 10 o'clock. I got to go home. So, you know, that, I think that also just happens.
And they're at the club hooking up in the bathroom.
That's exactly what happens at the club, Andy.
I know, I'm like, is that what people do? Gosh. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I need to go to club.
You
got to
walk
clubbing.
In next time, Colton, and see what's happening inside.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be, yeah. I just am so uncomfortable around people, and it is genuinely... Uh-huh. Especially people that I would like to,
kiss on the mouth.
I mean, I don't really want to do that anymore, but like, still like it's someone, if I don't know, it's just this weird confidence thing, but, maybe at some point I got to get my groove back and like, you know, I am the only character that I ever watched in a movie that I can go, that is me, is Josie Grossi. I'm Joseph Grossi. I'm Josie Grossi from Never Been Kissed. Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
That is genuinely how I feel. I have hyperhidrosis, so I only can wear black, except for when I'm on podcasts, because the blue brings out the color of my eyes. Blah, blah, blah. But legitimately, I am nervous and awkward, and I would love to figure out how to not be Josie Grossi. But I'm going over that. Now I'm talking about something completely different from that other question.
No.
But
God, there's so much to unpack. My goodness.
There's so much.
This episode was good for my soul. Because, I mean, considering you were like, I don't know how I'm going to talk about anything. There's a cat tail in my face. You really just came to us with an open heart and a loose butt, which is what we demand on couples therapy.
We demand.
I wish it was looser. Like, seriously, that would mean I'm like doing... That would mean it's like something's happening. But no, it's not loose. Anyway, I definitely... I love you, and I just love I love having genuine conversation and like not like thinking, that's why I was like, I'm gonna do this podcast.
We're honored. You guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.